All right, friends, this is session 2 of Effortless Provision. Thank you for tuning in to part 1. If you haven't listened to that, please go back and take a listen, as we're going to go in succession here as we progress through not only the book, but just some other thoughts surrounding Effortless Provision outside of the writing. So thank you for tuning in and listening. So before we jump into the meat of session 2 and the book, I'd like to talk about heart and brain coherence. Some of you have heard what this means, this term coherence, and I'll explain really how I see it as it pertains to God in us being one with love. And there are many explanations as it pertains to heart and brain coherence, or heart coherence. One gentleman named Dr. Joe Dispenza has great teachings on it. If you care to check him out on YouTube or online, he has many videos pertaining to this, and he really talks about it from a neuroscience point of view. He is a neuroscientist and doctor. He's also a really a just a guy that talks a lot about the inner world as it pertains to science. And what I love about that is that he explains things practically for those that can't quite see it spiritually. And so it's a good combination to kind of sift through. You know, you'll wade through some things, but he believes in God, and you know, he believes in the spirit realm. He believes in a lot that is the same with the believing world. But there's some things, you know, that you sift through, whatever you're comfortable with. So the point is that he talks about heart coherence and brain coherence, and many others are starting to discuss these things as well. So how I see it is heart coherence is this place that is either in alignment, in oneness — we're talking spiritually now — in alignment and oneness with the Spirit, or it's not. Another way you could look at it is tuning into a certain channel on, you know, on the TV, or some kind of a radio frequency or internet band or frequency, tuning in to a radio station, if you still listen to that kind of thing in a car. I don't want to date this too much, but you get the point, is you're tuning into an aligning with something so that you can hear it clearly or not, or you don't align to that. Another way to look at it is a Wi-Fi signal. You know, when you're linking up a device, it goes red, blue, red, blue, red, blue. And then if you link up and connect with that device, then it stays solid blue. So it's the red pill or the blue pill, if you want to look at it that way. Which one are you going to take, and which rabbit hole are you going to go down? Because you have two choices. Either link up to the Spirit in oneness or not. And it doesn't mean that you're not loved. It doesn't mean that you're not, you know, moving towards a certain direction that of goodness. But it just means that you can tune yourself in to where you have a link that's a Wi-Fi link, in other words, that's always on. Meaning that when the heart and the brain have coherence together, they're linked up like a Wi-Fi signal, then things start happening that you've only dreamed of. And I'm going to explain more of that, how that works. So heart coherence means that you have a certain rhythm. And when you're at rest, when you're relaxed, when your heart isn't stressing, when you're sitting in a hot tub or a swimming pool and refreshing waters on a hot day, you're taking a shower. Think about those places in your life where you're completely at rest. Maybe you're going into a deep sleep. You're so relaxed, eating an enjoyable bite of some kind of wonderful food, and your heart is at rest. That's what we're talking about when we mention the word coherence. Coherence means that your art is just in a slowed rhythm. It's at rest, and it's not stressing out or filled with anxiety. Every one of us have a place or a time in our lives where this is in fact true. It could happen daily to you, whatever that is to you, for your heart being at rest, or intermittently throughout the week, or always at rest, no matter what you're doing, if you've tuned into this. So when we talk about rest, when we talk about effortless flow or effortlessness, when we talk about coherence, keep this in mind as it relates to the heart. Because remember, out of the heart flow the issues of life. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the heart, we live and move and have our being. It's the operation center of our life. Your heart stops beating, boom. You're out of natural life. You're now completely into the spirit realm. Now, there's a place where we can have live and move and have a constant living meditation, if you will. That's coherence. We can be like that way throughout our entire existence if we train ourselves to be, if we understand this, and we begin to live by it. Okay? So, when we have heart coherence, then it begins to move up the frequencies, the magnetism, the magnetic field that the heart produces. This is proven scientifically that we have a magnetic field that begins to expand and increase around our physical being and our spiritual being the more we tune into this heart coherence. So it begins to affect and go straight up and affect the brain. When we have coherence, okay? When we're stressed, just the opposite happens. When we're stressed, when we're anxious, when we're freaking out and we're in fear, then we don't have this connection. What happens? We begin to operate out of head knowledge. Our heart is afraid, it's not coherent, and then our head takes over and we start making irrational decisions. And then we become intellectual and we use our head, and then we can get into trouble really quickly because there's no link up. See, when Jesus said, rivers of living water will flow out of your innermost being, this is what he was talking about. In other words, when you have heart coherence, then rivers or flow of powerful magnetism, powerful frequency, powerful love, the emanation of love begins to rivet through our life and our body, in our neurological system, our makeup, and affect our brain. And this is what's called the mind of Christ. This is what Jesus was challenging in the hearts and minds of men the entire time he walked the planet, and still does today by his spirit. He was challenging the disciples like, oh, you have little faith. In other words, what he was saying, if you just Wi-Fi link, if you just have heart coherence, being in rest and become one with my teachings, become one with what I'm saying, then your heart will be at rest enough to infect your brain and you won't be fearful. You'll begin to make decisions based on the mind of love, the mind of Christ. And when we begin to do that, amazing, miraculous things begin to transpire, because that's what Jesus walked in and still walks in now. He walked in consistently and continually in heart coherence when he was on the planet. And why is that important? Because the magnetic field is the anointing. It's the presence of his love rubbed off on the inside of us, splashing in and out of our lives, affecting our spirit, man, to the point to where that magnetism begins to cast shadows on the earth that literally heal people. So we wonder why we hear all this talk about why there's no miracles happening in America or Western nations like there is overseas. Why don't we have the power amongst our people or in our churches or in our congregation? Why isn't there the supernatural this and the supernatural this showing up? Well, we used to think, some of us used to think, and a lot of you still do, that it has to be with less watching of TV, being behavior, having behavior modification, not letting the four-letter words slip out of our mouths, not doing all of these human things that people do. We need to be more holy. We need to have more behavior modification. We need to stop sinning. Well, of course, right? That's a given, you guys. If you're in love, remember what we said. You don't want to damage your body. You're not going to go sleep with prostitutes all over the place. If you're in love with your spouse, your wife, whoever. And if you're, especially when you're in love with Jesus, you're in love with him, then you don't want to do those things. Now, you know, guys, think about it. How holy have you become, and where's all the miracles? How many times have we prayed our guts out? We've prayed and interceded for hour upon hour, hour upon hour, hour upon days upon days, 40-day fasts at every beginning of every year. And okay, where's the transformation in America? Well, John, it takes time. Don't you know that? We got to build up something here over a period of 20, 30, 40 years, and then it'll just pop. Then it'll just flood the earth, and then everybody will be miraculously transformed. No. Okay. So think of it this way, friends. Let's look at it a little differently. The Spirit of the Lord, the love of God, the knowledge of who he is has been spreading throughout the earth. The kingdom has been leavening the whole earth for thousands of years, especially for the last 2,000 since Jesus came and finished the work. So kingdom has been spreading. The kingdom of God is on his shoulders. It's been spreading through you and I. But how has it been spreading? We have a couple ways to look at this. We can spread it through conditioned theology, meaning that, okay, I know a few scriptures, and this is what my pastor said, and this is what I learned in Bible college, so I'm going to go out there and try to win some souls. You've got that way of looking at it. Or you have the other way of looking at it that says, wait a minute, the kingdom has already been spreading because of what Jesus did. He came, yet though you were yet sinners, I came and died for you, so I did that. That was my effortless ability in you. I'm the one that transforms people, not you. I'm the one that grips the hearts of man, not you. I'm the one that goes out and draws all men unto me. Remember, he said that in scripture, not you. I'm the one that does the work in the heart of man, not you. I'm the one that transforms and changes and does the miraculous inside of humanity, not you. And so Jesus said, okay, he said an interesting thing. He goes, well, I'm giving you the power of attorney. I'm giving you my name. I'm giving you the Spirit and who I am inside of you. I am giving you Holy Spirit to become one with so that you can walk this thing out. So, hey, go make disciples. The issue is not the Great Commission so much as it is, what are we commissioning people with? What are we conditioning through the commissioning? That's the question. That's the big question. So that's the whole point of what I just said, is that we want to go out and do these things through a religious lens, or we can allow what is effortless already on the inside of us and let God do the work, so if you will, let him go out and take care of those things as we live and move and have our being and heart coherence. Well, John, what about through you? Well, that's the point, is that we can throw conditioning out to humanity by our schooled learning and our paradigms through that conditioning, or we can step right through the, quote, skin of Jesus, if you will, in oneness, and allow him to say what he wants to say, do what he wants to do, and be religiously non-existent in you. You get that? We want the non-religious Jesus to bypass the religious conditioning inside of us so that we can have the heart coherence that actually influences people in an authentic way. Boy, that was a lot. That was loaded. I could feel that one. We want the non-religious Jesus, meaning the Jesus, the real Jesus, to influence us aside from all of the conditioning that we have been conditioned by throughout the years in religion. We want him to bypass in our mindsets and our thinking and our mentality. We want the non-religious Jesus to bypass all of that religious junk so that we can truly live in a heart coherent state that would give us the mind of Christ. See, it's not about more hours in prayer for the sake of just praying, thinking it's going to give us more anointing. It's not about being more holy in your own strength. It's not about following formulas to try and get something to happen. We've done all that, been there, done that, wore the t-shirt, plumb out. No, it's a day and age where we've always lived in this day and age, but we just haven't known it, to where we relent and we sink into heart coherence so that our heart is at rest, so that we're at peace and love and joy. All those wonderful, juicy things can rise up and kingdom can be unveiled through the mind of Christ in us because it has affected our brain, literally. So when we have that Wi-Fi link up between the two, then the blue light brings us into the blue room of heaven, and the blue rooms of heaven, the throne room of God, begins to permeate in us and through us into the earth, on earth as it is in heaven. We say that a lot in certain circles, don't we, friends? But do we really know what that means? No. I think we only have a fraction. Some of us don't even have that. But we're starting to taste and see that the Lord is good through this and beginning to understand a little bit more about what this means. Because if heart coherence is true, which it is, then what that simply means is that we're going to have to embrace effortlessness over hard work. Start embracing his strength and his ability and his ways and his wisdom and his understanding, his revelation, his power, his anointing, his faith, his love, his joy, all those wonderful things. Start sinking into, relenting, becoming one with, so that they absorb our heart and cause it to be at rest, so that our heart thinks very clearly in coherence. And when it's coherent, then, scientifically speaking and spiritually speaking, what happens is it begins to magnetically affect the brain and the mind, so much so that it causes this field to surround us like a bubble that goes 3 feet out, 8 feet out, 9 feet out, and more. The more we sink into heart coherence, the more it expands, the more it grows to where it starts, that magnetism starts drawing things in magnetically to our lives. This is Matthew 6, 33 and on, defined. Seek first that relational activity with the Lord, sinking into it, sinking in, letting go, surrendering, relenting, sinking in to that heart coherent space so we can go right into Eden, the atmosphere of his presence internally. And then what happens? Seek first the kingdom. That's the kingdom within us. And what is righteousness, which means generosity. It means God's ability through us, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what he did, the finished work, allowing that to sink in and to permeate our lives. So where we think like him, act like him, and we start having heart coherence into our brain, we have the mind of Christ. And then what happens? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what? All these things will be magnetized to our lives. All these things will be added to you, to us, because it's a real thing. Magnetism is real. Isn't that much different than this explanation of the law of attraction that you see in throughout the guru world, where they talk about this law of attraction. You're like, huh? Okay, well, that I don't quite understand what you're saying. But when you look at it this way, it begins to make sense, doesn't it? The magnetic field that's produced with heart and brain coherence is actually magnetism. And it begins to draw things energetically, spiritually speaking, to our lives, to where we draw the experiences, we draw the goods, we draw the goodness, we draw the events to us rather than chasing them down. And that's what religion is so good at, is trying to chase things down. Instead of genuine, true spirituality in oneness with Christ, pulling them and drawing them to us. Did you notice that Jesus, everywhere he went, he drew things through magnetism to him? The people, the throngs, the multitudes, the situations, the circumstances, the events all chased him down. Not once do you see in Scripture, anyhow, do you see Jesus running after or chasing after his dream or chasing down provision. No, he simply reached up in the air and gave thanks into that magnetic existence, that magnetic field, because gratitude is part of heart coherence. It's actually the truth of gratefulness coming through our lives that draws it in. And so he was reaching up into the magnetic existence of the field, the energy of gratefulness and the energy of heart coherence, and he reaches up and gives thanks and pulls it right down into the natural, the fishes and the loaves, or whatever was needed at the time to bring about genuine provision. Isn't that amazing? It's so amazing to know that there is explanations for this. There is genuine scientific proof that this actually literally happens. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And it's something that we're starting to awaken to, many of us that hadn't realized this before. Now, the scientific world has been explaining this for years. And certain spiritual teachers have been as well, that haven't been a part of the church, but necessarily, but they love God, and they explain this outside the box. So we're just now, some of us Christians, Christ followers, I should say, rather, that we're starting to awaken to these realities. You know, all along for years, I've always known these things to be true, and inside I just didn't have the language for it. And I'm willing to bet that some of you listening to this have felt the same. You can agree with that, right? So, the beauty of this is that, guys, it's the life we've always dreamed of, because there's no effort, sweat, and toil or hardness involved in this. Hard work isn't even part of the equation. So let me ask you, how hard has your life been? How difficult has it been? How stressful has your existence been in the working world? Are you completely and entirely stressed out because of what's going on with the COVID issues, or, you know, the regulations and the rules slapped on you through all of this current event stuff, and you're just like, man, I can't make ends meet because now I've got to go to a completely different industry, or you've been let go because you said no, right? Or whatever the situation may be, and you found yourself just stressed from head to toe. Well, that's a real thing, and we're not going to make light of that. We're not going to deny it, right? Because I've been in the working world as well over the years, and I understand it. However, once you come to the point of being done, and you're like, no, there has to be a different way, that is the beautiful starting point of an effortless existence. Because now you've come to the reality of, okay, I know this isn't working. I may have been having a level of success, but it's flat worn me. I can't even enjoy it because I'm so worn out. Millionaires and billionaires do it all the time outside of this vortex, outside of this power called heart coherence. They go out there all the time. They grind it out, sweat it out through egoic action. You know, there's a difference. And in the next session, we're going to talk about the difference between efforted action and inspired action. But they're out there doing efforted action. They're doing egoic things, and they're getting her done. But at what expense have they busted their backside in hard labor to go out there and to grind it out to get a few toys, maybe a few houses and a few luxury vacations? But then what quality of life do they have? If you sit down and ask them honestly and have them answer honestly, they would say, this sucks. This isn't life. I'm always working and I'm always gone doing this or that. And then when I do have a chance to go on a great vacation with the family, I'm so stressed out checking emails and text messages and all the rest because I've got to keep this big empire going. I've got to continue the madness of pumping that baby up so where I can have this kind of lifestyle. And can I just say, friends, that is no life. That is no life. You have no life. I know people that do that very thing. I've done it to certain income levels. And I can tell you it's not fun. It just, you're so tired that you don't want to do anything at the end of the day or on the weekend. You just want to sit around and veg. So, we get that, right? But my question is, are you done yet? That's the question. Ponder that until we see each other again on the next session.